Okay, today's daf is daf Kuf Yud. We're going to start at the Tanu Rabbanan, five lines from the bottom of Kuf Tet Amud Bet. Refuah Shlema for the week, and Ilui Nishma. Refuah Shlema the David Avram Ben Miriam, Devorah Bat Dina, Orli Pnina Bat Rachel Frida, Yael Miriam Bat Chaya, Yaakov Ben Rosa, David Ben Golda, Daphna Chaya Bat Sari, Lana Mira Bat Dina, Reza Bat Pesha. Ilui Nishma, Chana Bat Avram Bat Tara, Tzvi Hirsch Ben Yaakov Halevi Umela, Yosef Ben Tzvi HaKohen, Oz Avram Shimon Ben Eliezer, Yitzchak Halevi, Vechana. What?
Shimon Ben
Sarah,
Shimon
Harris. Right, and Refuah Shlema Shimon Ben Sarah. Okay. Tov, Tanu Rabbanan. So in the context of yesterday's daf, I'm trying to remember now exactly where we got off on this. They talked about this case of Gazala Tagir. Okay, if there's a Gzela for a gear, there's a special halakha. You can look at the sheet today. It's here. Let's just read the psukim from Bamidbar Parakei. Okay, the second section on the sheet. Dabero b'nei Yisrael, isho isha ki asumi kol chatot ha'adam l'mo mal ba'ashem, v'ashma nefesh ahi. These are the psukim we know already. Somebody does a chet, they do something. V'hidvadu et chatatam asher asu. So they come forward and they admit. That's what our whole case was about. Somebody admitted that they stole, that they took someone's pikadon, whatever it might be. V'yishivet ashamo b'rosho. Okay, we're going to see that means they return the item. V'chamishato Yosef alav. He has to add the chomesh, v'natan la'asher ha'shamlo, and he has to give it to the person. V'im ein la'ish goel la'hashiv ha'sham elav. Okay, what if there is no such person? For example, because if there's no such person, you at least give it to the inheritors, which will either be the sons. If he has no sons, it'll go to the closest relative. Somebody always, right, we're Jewish, somebody always got some relative. Unless you're a convert. You're a convert, the only yorshim you have are your children, and if after you converted, and if you don't have children, you have no relatives above. So basically, you have no one. So what happens in that case? Ha'asham ha'mushav, in other words, the item that you're supposed to return, the money, goes la'hashem la'kohen. Okay? In addition to mavad el kippurim asher chaper bo alav. And in addition, obviously, the guy's to bring the korban. Okay, so that's the halacha we're going to talk about today. There's a later pasuk yud, skip a pasuk, and then it says, "V'ishet kodashav lo yihyeh." We're going to drash on this pasuk later. "Isha shir yiten lakohen lo yihyeh." Okay, we'll see what they do with that pasuk. Okay, so here we have Tanu Rabbanan, minayin lakohen. Okay, now we're getting off a little bit. What about a kohen? So sheba umakriv. Oh, so sorry. I think in yesterday's daf also. Right, there were a few other things mentioned. There was the stechuza. A stechuza is when somebody sells a property or they're makdish a property, and then the gizbar sells it to someone. Okay, they're makdish a stechuza. There's different types of land. So one is called the stechuza, which goes back in the yovel to its original owners. So if he sends it to hekdesh and he sells it to some, and then the gizbar of the hekdesh sells it to someone, at the shnati yovel it goes back to the kohanim, and who gets it? Because I mean, there's a lot of kohanim. It goes to the mishmar that's in that week. Okay, so like you're best off, right, being on the first week of the, right, at the yovel. So if you're on that week, it gets split up equally between you. And then also, the same thing with the kohen and the ger. If you go to return a gzela that you stole from a ger, and there's no yorshim, the ger died, there's no yorshim, it gets split up by the mishmar of that week. Okay, so in the context of that, they start getting into other things about kohanim. Tanu Rabbanan, minayin lekohen sheba makriv korbonotav b'chol et o b'chol sha'as sheyirtzeh. If you're a kohen, you can come anytime you want and be makriv. Talmud lomar, you don't have to go necessarily in your week. So now, where do we learn this from? There's a pasuk that says, okay, the first pasukim on the page, varim perak yudchet. Okay, we'll read those pasukim before we read the Gemara. V'chi yavo ha-levi ma'achad sha'arecha. Here they assume the levi really means the kohen, because they're talking about levi'im that are working in the Beit HaMikdash. Mikol Yisrael asher hu gar sham, uba b'chol avat nafsho el ha-makom she'yivchar Hashem. He can go whenever he wants to the Beit HaMikdash. V'sheret b'shem Hashem Elohav, k'chol echav ha-levi'im ha-omdim sham lefnei Hashem. He can work just like them. Chelek ha-chelek yochelu levan karav al avot. Okay, how we darshan that we'll see after. Okay, so now, what are they saying these psukim come to teach you? They come to teach you that if it's not your mishmar, you're still allowed to go do the avoda. But And then what happens? If you do the avoda, what normally happens? People come to the Beit HaMikdash to sacrifice. They bring it to the kohen that's on. The kohanim and that mishmar do the work. Today we're going to talk a lot about mishmarot. Okay, maybe I should go back and just explain. There were 24 mishmarot kuhuna. The kohanim were split up into 24 groups. They each worked 2 weeks a year, plus everybody came on the ole regale, on the aliyah l'rega. And when they work, they got the lechem apanim. They got, in other words, that was there. They would get all the stuff that went to them, right, from the korbanot, anything that was for the kohen to eat. It was split up among the people of that mishmar. So now, what we're learning here is, if you're a regular kohen and you want to bring a korban nidava, you say, hey, I want to bring a korban, a voluntary offering, you can come to the Beit HaMikdash any week and you get to eat your stuff. So now they say, but wait. So avoda minayin she'avodata be'ora shelo. How do we know that not only does he get to sacrifice it? There's two elements or three elements. One is the sacrificing itself, that he can do the sacrificing. Number two and three go together, which is the avodata, which they say is his schar avoda. What salary do you get? You get to eat the food. So the food and the ore, the skin of the animal, the hide, goes to him. Talmud Lamar, where do we learn that from? V'ishet kodashav lo yihyeh. That later pasuk we saw there, right? That, this is in the, now we're skipping to the pasukim in Bamidbar. It says, v'ishet kodashav lo yihyeh. Okay? So, you get your own kodashim. Haketzad. So, how does this work? Im haya ba'almum notna lekohen shebaoto mishmar v'avodata v'ora shelo. Now they're going to tell us, if he was a ba'almum, then he can't sacrifice it himself. Okay? What does he have to do? He has to give it to whoever's on duty, because a Baal Mum can't sacrifice himself. And he's only allowed to give it to Kohen Shavoto Mishmar. And the Avodata Va'ora Shelo, but he gets to eat whatever comes from the animal, because a Baal Mum is allowed to eat. Okay? There's something unique about a Baal Mum. He cannot do the Avoda, but he is allowed to eat the Kodashim. So therefore, if it's not his week and he comes and brings a korban nedava, he gets to eat the stuff, but he can't sacrifice it. And the only one, we're going to see a difference now, the only one who can sacrifice it is the people on that mishmar. Okay, in a minute you'll understand where they're going with this. V'im haya zaken o chole. Now this is going to be the flip of the Baal Mum, okay, and we'll explain why in a minute. But the assumption here is he is allowed to do the avodah, the zaken o chole, but he can't eat the food. So now what's going to happen? It's going to be the flip case. Okay, by the way, I made a chart of all these cases. Okay? So, what's going to be? Notna lecho kohen sheyirtzeh. This is the way it works. Since he's allowed to do it himself, do the avoda, but let's say he doesn't want to because he's a zaken or a choleh. Since potentially he's allowed to do it, so what do we know about a shaliach? You can only appoint a shaliach to do something that you yourself can do. Okay? Like, let's say, maybe this isn't a great example, I'm just thinking right now. A woman can't give a get to her husband, right? But a man can give a get. So she can't appoint a shaliach to give a get because, even though he's a man and he can give a get, since she's a woman, she can only appoint someone to do whatever she can do, which is to receive the get. So, likewise here, if he's a Baal Mum, what can't he do? He can't appoint any kohen he wants because he wasn't allowed to do it himself since he's a Baal Mum. So we can only give it to the kohanim b'oto mishmar. But the zaken or choleh who potentially can sacrifice it themselves, if they don't want to, they can give it to any kohen they want. Because basically that kohen is going to function in place of, he's an extension of whatever that person can do themselves. However, since they can't eat, what happens with their food? Avodata v'ora l'anshei mishmar. Okay, so it goes to the anshei mishmar. So now they want to know, wait a minute. Why is this zaken or chole? Why is the assumption they can do the avoda but they can't eat? So now we'll see why. Ha zaken or chole hechidami. What's the case? Idematze avid avodata v'ora nami tehave dide. If they're allowed to work, then everything should be theirs. So why don't they get the food and the hide? V'idelomatze avid avoda shaliach hechem. Sorry, idelomatze avid avoda. If they can't do the avoda, they're not capable because they're sick or old, then shliach hechi mishaviv. And how can they make a shliach? Right? That was our whole assumption. So Amar Papa, she'achol asot al yidei hadchak avodah, d'chi avid le al yidei hadchak avodahi, u'mishaviv shliach. They could do it, but with great difficulty. Okay? Since they can do it with great difficulty, but there is potential, they actually can do it, therefore they're allowed to make a shaliach to do it for them. But achila, deki achila yidehatcha, achila gasahi, achila gasa lav klumhu, mishum hachi avodatava ora lan she mishmar. Now they're going to say, it's interesting, they don't relate to the hide at all, but I think the assumption is the food goes with the hide. So now, if they can't eat very well, so what do, right? It's called, if you eat and you're sick to your stomach to eat, right? You're old and you're having trouble eating and you shove food down your throat, that's called achila gasa. And that's not eating. Okay, by the way, the most interesting place, or there's a bunch of interesting places where this comes up. Like if you eat achila gasa in Yom Kippur, for example, it's not achila. Okay, now I wouldn't recommend going out and doing it, but, or another really interesting example is there's a whole machloket about Seudah Shlishit. Do you have to eat Seudah Shlishit? Because a lot of people, by Shabbat, they're full, they can't eat, etc. So most of the stories say you have to eat it. If you can't eat bread, at least eat something, you know, and there's a whole hierarchy that leads all the way down to, you know, you could just eat some fruit. But there's an opinion, I think it's Rabbeinu Tam, or it's quoted in the Sefer Yashar of Rabbeinu Tam. I think it's Rabbeinu Ephraim, maybe. I forget whose opinion it is. But he says that eating Seudah Shlishit is achila gasa, or if it is, like on a short Shabbat, we're eating it as achila gasa, and therefore you can't eat Seudah Shlishit if you're full. Okay? And he basically matyrs, you know, the whole Seudah Shlishit. No, but most people don't really hold by him. But the other really interesting source, if we're already on this, is that the Avudraham says there that the whole point of making three meals on Shabbat is to teach people to eat small meals so that they don't get too full and they can manage to eat three meals, because three meals was one extra than what they normally ate in those days. So therefore, that's the whole reason, is that people limit their food and spend more time learning on Shabbat. Anyway, food for thought, literally. Okay, so anyway, that's where achila gasa. So achila gasa is not achila, and therefore, so he's now ra'oi la'echol, mishum hachi avodata ba'ora l'anshei mishmar. Amar Rav Sheshet. Now we have another related halacha. Im hayah kohen tameh. Okay, this is going to be another in the list. In other words, who gets what, right? Who can he give it to? That's always going to be the question. And, okay, so just to, you can review on the sheet, right? If he comes to do his own korban, so he can either do it himself, or he can give it to any kohen he wants, doesn't have to go to the anshei mishmar, and he gets to eat it. But if he's a balmum or a zakein, then, you know, depending on the situation, which one he can pass off and which one has to go to the anshei mishmar. Now Rav Sheshet says, "Im hayah kohen tameh b'korban tzibur, if he was tameh and he was supposed to sacrifice the korban tzibur, so what does he do? Notna l'chomish yirtzeh, he could give it to anyone. Vavodata v'ansha v'oral anshe mishmar." Which shows that a tameh person can sacrifice, but he can't eat the food. So what do you mean a tameh person can sacrifice, right? What are we talking about here? So the Gemara says, "Hechidami." If there are tehorim there, then tmeim mi matzu avde. Now, what did we learn? We learned this many times, but not for a long time, though, so you might not remember. This is what's called tuma hutra b'tzibur. If all the kohanim are tmeim, then when it comes to a korban tzibur, then even kohanim tmeim are allowed to do the avoda. Okay? In other words, if there are some tohorim, then the tohorim have to do it. But if there's no kohanim tohorim, and we're supposed to bring a korban tzibur, like korban tamid every day, right? Korban pesach, it comes up. It's called tumah hutra b'tzibur. And we're allowed to bring, tamei kohanim can bring the korban. So now they're saying like this. What kind of case if they're tamein? If there are tohorim around, well then the tamein can't do the avoda. And then how can you say they can give it to anyone they want? Okay, because they're not allowed to do the avoda. If they're not allowed to do the avoda, they can't pass it on to somebody else because they can't make a shalech to do something they can't do themselves. V'idaleka tehorim, avodata v'ora l'anshe mishmar. How could you say, if there's no kohanim tehorim, how could you give the food to the anshe mishmar? Because even though tumah hutra b'tzibur, that allows us to sacrifice the korban, doesn't allow us to eat it. You can't eat a tameh. Hatmeim ninhu, v'lo matzeh aleklet. They can't eat. Nobody can eat it. So what are you talking about? So Amarava, Ema, who are they going to give it to? Leba'alei mumim tohorim shaboto mishmar. Okay, in other words, all the kohanim that were ra'oi to do the avoda, that weren't ba'alei mumim, became tamei, but there were ba'alei mumim that were tohorim. And remember, a ba'al mum can eat. He can't do the avoda, but he can eat. So since he can't do the avoda, he's tahor, but he can't do the avoda because he's a ba'al mum. So the only people left to do the avoda were the tmeim. Then who's left to eat it? Well, the tohorim, the tameim can't eat it. So only the Baalei Mum, who were Tohorim, were allowed to eat it. So that's what they're saying. So then, assuming that they were Baalei Mumim, Tohorim, on that Mishmar, they're the ones who could eat it. Quite strange, right? It's a very dachuk case, very extreme case. Unlikely it would be. It would happen. Amar of Ashi. Here's the last case for this. Imaya Kohen Gadol Onen. Okay, a Kohen Gadol who's an Onen is allowed to sacrifice. So therefore, let's say he doesn't want to, right? You can imagine. He's an Onen. Someone just died in his family, right? So he's allowed to sacrifice. But if he wants to, because he can sacrifice, notna l'kol kohen sheyirtze. But he's not allowed to eat. So again, avodatava ohalan shemishmar. So now they say, wait a minute. Rav Ashi, what's the chiddush in what you're saying? We already know this. Why would you be telling us this? How do we know this? My kamashmalan, what are you teaching us? Tanina, we already learned in a... I didn't check this. It's probably a Mishnah. Often it's a Mishnah, but I'm not sure if it's a Mishnah or a Braita, but in a Tana Idixoris, what does it say? Kohen gadol makriv onen ve'eno ochel. Okay, in other words, he could be makriv onen and he can't eat. Ve'eno cholek le'echol la'erev. And he can't even eat later, at night. In other words, he can't eat it at all, whatever he sacrificed on that day. So, if you know that a Kohen Gadol is makriv onen and he can't eat, then obviously he can pass it on to anyone he wants and he can't, right? He has to give the food to the Baalei Mishmar. So it's no chidush at all. So now I say, no. Salka data chamina, you might have thought, ki chas rachmana ale de Kohen Gadol likruvehu. Aval shavuye shaliach lo matze mishave, kamash malan. Even though we always say, if you're allowed to make someone a shaliach, if you're allowed to do it yourself, you can make someone a shaliach. Now they're suggesting that, well, it's true that the Kohen Gadol Onen can make someone a shaliach. There was a Hava Mina, you might have thought that he couldn't. That it's because it's a very weird chidush that we're going to allow this Kohen Gadol Onen to do the avoda. So now they're saying maybe they have Rachmanut on him, and the Torah wanted to allow him to do it himself if he wanted. But if he opts out of doing it himself, well, then he opts out, and then he can't make anyone a shaliach to do it for him. And then it just goes to the default, to the Anshei Mishmar. But now they're telling you, no, that's not the halachah. As you might have thought that just because we allow him to do it doesn't necessarily mean he can appoint a shaliach. Comes Rav Ashi to say, no, as long as he can do it, he can appoint a shaliach. Well, we don't start playing a guessing game as to why the Torah allowed it. It was just because they wanted to allow him to be able to do the avod if he wanted to, but not that he could pass it off to someone else, And if he's already passing it off, well, then it may as well go the default. But instead, they're saying, no, actually, dinei shlichut work. If you can do it, someone else can do it. It doesn't matter why we allowed you to do it or not. Okay. New Mishnah, although somewhat connected. We're still on this gozela tager case now. Hagozela tager v'nishbalo. Someone steals from a ger and then swears, I didn't steal it, and then he admits. Okay? But umet, the guy dies. So now he comes forward and admits, I stole from this guy. Hare ze mishalem karen v'chomash lakoanim. Okay, so now there's no one to pay the money to. He pays it to the Kohanim. And that's the pasuk I showed you in the very beginning of Shi'ur, where it says, right, Vim ein la'ish goel la'ashiv Hashem elav, Hashem hamushav la'ashem la'kohen. Okay, it goes to the Kohen. Shenemar, Vim ein la'ish goel, sorry, now it says it in the Gemara exactly, la'ashiv Hashem elav, Hashem mushav la'ashem. Okay, so Hashem hamushav la'ashem la'kohen, milvad el ha'kipurim asher chupar alav. Hayama alet hakesef et ha'asham. Let's say he's bringing the kesef and the asham, and then the guy dies, umet. So a kesef yinaten lebanav. Okay, so now what happens? The kesef goes to the kids, the yorshim, v'ha'asham yireh ad sheyistaev, v'yimachir v'yiplu damav l'nidava. Okay, someone's bringing the money to the Beit HaMikdash. He's bringing it to the guy, and then the guy dies. So the money goes to the kids and the asham. What's the issue with the asham? Remember, we talked about there's two aspects here. One is he has to pay the money back. There's a chiyuv mamoni, and the other is that he has to do kapara. Now the kapara aspect only applies The guy dies, right? One second. Sorry, I said it wrong. I get it right. Okay, let's start again. Hayama alet hakesef ve'et ha'asham, and then he dies while he's trying to bring the money back. So then hakesef yinaten lebanav. So then the kesef goes to...
Robert's son.
One second. Wait a minute, I'm confused. Because if the robber should still be alive then. Wait, both of them died?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I... Right, so 1 minute. Just give me a second. Okay. Right, it's a continuation of that case where the guy died already, the gear died, and then he's going... Okay, sorry, now I remember that. Okay, let's go back. So now the gear already is dead. The guy is going to the Beit HaMikdash to bring his stuff to the Kohanim, right? Both the money of the Kohen and the Korbanot are going to be dealt with by the Kohanim. So now what happens? HaKesef goes back to his own children. In other words, since he's no longer alive, the Kesef doesn't have to go to the Kohanim anymore. It goes back to... Because the whole idea... What's the issue with bringing back the money? You have to bring back the money because you owe the money. But if the money's not owed to anyone, and it's just going to the Beit HaMikdash so that you can... What's the issue? Okay, I forgot to mention this. When you steal something, what happens? Right? You owe the Keren, Chomash, the Asham. Now, what did we talk about, if you remember? You have to pay the Keren before you can bring your Korban. If you didn't pay the Keren, then you can't bring your Korban. It's like allowing you to get the Kapara. So at this point, when there's no one to return the money to, so you don't have to worry about Yeshivat HaGzeilah, but you still... So now that you have the issue that also there's no kapara needed because you're not alive anymore. So now what happens? So the kids get the money back because it doesn't have to go to the kohanim anymore because you don't need it as a prerequisite for kapara because you don't need kapara anymore. You follow? The keren has to happen before you do the asham. Right? So now, if you don't have the keren, you can't do the asham, but here you don't even need the asham. So therefore, you don't need the Keren. That's why the Keren has to be paid to the Kohanim, so that you're allowed to do the Asham. But in this case, there isn't going to be no Asham. So what happens? If you've already set aside the animal for the Asham, so what happens? So number one, the money can go back to the inheritors of the guy who died. But the Korban, the Asham, we've learned this before. If you remember, a Chatat has to go Lemita, has to be killed. If you separate something from Chatat to do Kapara and then you die, the Chatat gets killed, the animal. Like, that's the only thing that we can do to it. But the Asham gets to be Yir'eh Ad She'istaev. You leave it in this area until a mum falls on it, you know, a mum happens. Then, since it can no longer be offered as a Korban, now, you can't offer it as a Korban because it was designated this guy's Korban Asham. But what can you do? You leave it till a moon falls, then b'yimacher, then you can sell it, because now it's already pasul for a korban. V'yiplu damav l'nidava. And then the damim go into the, you know, they had this, like, pushka in the Beit HaMikdash, that they put all these monies for olot nidava. And then it would just be brought as a regular nidava offering. But let's say it gets to a later stage, okay? He separates the money to give to the ger. The ger dies. He goes to the Beit HaMikdash to bring it to the Kohen. He has his Asham already. Natana kesef l'anshei mishmar. So he gives the money already to the Kohanim. Umet. And then he dies. So what happens now? Does the money go back to the Yorshim? No, because it was already given to the Kohanim. Ein ha-Yorshim yicholim lehotzi mi-adam. And here we get to this pasuk I said we're going to darshan later. Shenemar. V'ish asher yitain la-Kohen lo yihiyeh. The kesef is his. And as once it gets to the Kohen, it's his. Never goes back, even if the guy dies. Now, remember we talked about there were 24 Mishmarot Kuhuna. So the first, there was a whole list in the Mishnayot of what was the order of the Mishmarot. So Yehoyariv was the first. There were all these families. There were these 24 families. The first Mishmar was Yehoyariv, and the second was Yediah. So let's say you give the Kesef to the Yehoriv, to their family. They were the first Mishmar. Va'asham li'Yediah. Okay, and then you gave the Asham to the next week's Mishmar. Yatsa. That would work very well because you first paid the money and then you did your korban. But Asham li'Yehoyariv v'Kesef li'Yediah. Right? In other words, if you gave the Asham, the korban, to the first Mishmar, and then you gave the money to the guys on the second Mishmar, well, it depends. Im kayam ha'asham, if Yehoyariv didn't sacrifice the asham and it's still existing, when it comes to Yediah's turn to do the mishmar and they already got the money, then yakrivuhu b'nei Yediah. V'im lo, yachzir v'yavi asham acher. In other words, if not, the guy has to bring a new korban asham because that korban asham didn't count. Because like I said, the keren has to come before the asham. And if he gave the asham and it was sacrificed before he paid back the money, then it doesn't work. It makes sense, this halacha, right? Because it's like saying I'm sorry. What does sorry mean? If you don't return it, you're not really sorry. So It makes a lot of sense. Shamevi gzela ad shelo hevi ashamo yatsa. Now they're explaining the basis of halacha. If you bring your gzela before you bring your asham, then yatsa. But hevi ashamo ad shelo hevi gzela lo yatsa. But if you do it in the opposite order, it doesn't work. But there's this one halacha that we learned already before, which is natana ta keren velo natana ta chomesh. If you remember this, you have to return the item itself, but you don't necessarily have had to have paid the chomesh before you do the korban asham. The chomesh isn't ma'akev, meaning if you did your keren, and then your asham, and then you paid the chomesh, the fifth extra payment, which is really a quarter, then it'll still work. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're going to have a whole slew of drashot that we call them asham karya rahmana. Okay? Now, asham, this word asham, if you remember, look back at the pasuk b'midbar perek hey pasuk chet im ein laish goel hashiv ha'asham elav ha'asham hamushav la'asham l'kohen. What does asham mean here? It doesn't mean korban asham. It means the keren. So we're now going to show a bunch of different brayot and other sources that say that this right this word asham doesn't mean korban asham. It means the keren, the item. But if it means the keren, Asham Karya Rahmana, but the Torah called it Asham. So what are we going to learn from here? We're going to learn all sorts of halachot relating to the paying back of the Karen that are going to be similar to halachot that relate to the Korban Asham. Okay? Because it called it an Asham, we're going to say it has similarities between that and the Asham. That's the theme of the next bunch, the next section. Tanu Rabbanan, Asham ze Karen. Hamushav ze Chomesh. Okay, so now they're darshaning. The word asham, ha-asham, ha-mushav, means the keren and the chomesh. O eino ela, or maybe that's not what it is. Maybe asham ze'ayil, maybe asham really means the korban asham. So how do we know? So first of all, they say, l'may nafkamina. What's going to be the difference, the halach, if we say this? La'fu kemi derava, da'amarava, gezel hager shechziru balayla lo yatsa. Hechziru lechatsa'in lo yatsa. My taima, asham kari rahmana. So the first halach is from Rava, and he's going to say, it's going to, right, depending on whether you say Asham means Karen or not, it's going to have effects. If you say Asham means Karen, then it means that Karen has certain characteristics that the Korban Asham has. And if you're going to say that, then if you want to return it at nighttime, you can't do it because we don't bring sacrifices at night. And if you return it in parts, lo yatsa, because you can't bring part of an animal for a sacrifice. You have to bring the whole animal. A part doesn't mean anything. But if you look at it as it's not an asham, it's just a mamon payment, so if you paid half, that would go, you know, you'd be allowed to pay in halves. You pay 50% one day and 50% the other day, that would work. But if you say that it comes from the word asham, then you can only pay the money like you would pay a korban asham, which would be, like you would bring a korban asham, which would be in full. You can't pay 50, you know, one day and 50% the other day. So he says, and that's where Rava says it, it comes from the fact that asham kari rahman. Kishehu omer milvad ela kipurim. So now we're going to be machriya. How do we know? In other words, we stopped in the middle of the braita to say what's the relevance, whether you say it's asham or whether you say it's the korban, whether you say it's karen or you say it's the korban. So now they say, Kishu Omer Milvad Ela Kippurim, right? That's the end of that pasuk. In addition to, right, not besides, he has to bring the Ela Kippurim. So now what does it become clear? Heve Omer Asham Ze Karen, right? Because the later part of the pasuk relates to the Korban. So therefore, the earlier part must be talking about Karen. Tani Idach, another brayta. Asham Ze Karen. Hamushav Ze Chomesh. Okay, same thing. O Eino Ela, or maybe Asham Ze Chomesh. Now they're suggesting maybe the asham means the chomesh. So now again, they're going to say, wait a minute. L'may nafkamina, what's the relevance whether we say the asham is the chomesh or the asham is the keren? La'fu kemi matnitin ditnan natano et ha-keren v'lo natano et ha-chomesh en ha-chomesh ma'akev. If you would say that asham means chomesh, then what would you say? Against the halacha that we said before, that if you were to bring the chomesh after the asham, it would work. If the word asham means chomesh, then you would have to say chomesh is a part and parcel of the whole package, and it would be ma'akev, and you'd have to bring it before you bring the korban. So now they say again, kishu omer beheshivet ashamo beroshov v'chamishito heve omer asham ze keren. Look at the pasuk before. It says, right, you return the ashamo beroshov and the chomesh. So what do you see here? The word asham can't be referring to chomesh. It would make sense to say you return the chomesh and you add the chomesh. That doesn't make any sense. So therefore, asham must be keren. Heve omer, asham ze keren. Tani Ida, third brayta. Asham ze keren. Hamushav ze chomesh. Now we have a question like this. ubegezel hager hakatuv medaber, and it's talking about gezel hager where you have to pay keren and chomesh, which is the case we've been discussing. O eino ela hamushav zekechel ubegeneva hager hakatuv medaber. Maybe it's talking about a case of geneva where you'd have to pay kefel, and the mushav is not talking about the chomesh; it's talking about the kefel. So now they say. כשהוא אומר והשיב את אשמו בראשו וחמישיתו הרי בממון המשלם מראש הכתוב מדבר. So then they say this is talking about, because it says Asham and then the Chomesh, it's clear and it says Ashamo b'rosho, they're talking about something that you first pay the Karen and then you add the Chomesh to it, and that would therefore be proving that it's talking about the Karen and the Chomesh and not about the Kefil. Gufa. Now we're going to go back to the first statement we had of Rava, when we said Lamayin Avkamina, and we said it would be to know whether we hold like Rava or not. Amar Rava, Gezel Hager Shechziru Balayla Lo Yatza. Hechziru Chatzain Lo Yatza. My Taima, Asham Kari Rachmana. Okay, that's the first halach he said. Now we're going to say another one. Va'amar Rava, Gezel Hager She'ein Bo Shave Pruta L'Kol Kohen B'Kohen. Lo Yatza Yidei Chavato. My Taima, Dechtiv Ha'asham Hamushav. What does it say there? It says, Asham Mushav La Hashem La Kohen. What does that mean? You have to have something that can be returned to the Kohen. Now, who's the Kohen? The money gets just like all the korbanot you bring during that whatever week the Mishmar is up, right? That Mishmar splits, whatever Mishmar is on that week, they split the Gezel. Now, if you stole something, that if you split it between all the Kohanim that are on the Mishmar, no one's going to get, you know, there's not going to be a Shavapruta for everybody. Some people might end up with less than a Shavapruta, then that's not Kesef HaMushav. There's no real Hashava there, because some Kohanim are going to get, right, they look at the word La Kohen as each individual Kohen who's on the Mishmar. So if there isn't enough of a Shavapruta for each Kohen to get, then you're not Yotze, the Chiyuv of Hashava. So now they're going to ask a question. By Rava, what if, okay, this is one of those, you know, what ifs, ein bo l'mishmeret yeho yariv, v'yesh bo l'mishmeret yedaya. What if there's not enough for that mishmar, remember, yeho yariv was the first, but the next week's mishmar could split it, there's less people, let's say, okay? So, if Yedaya was known to be a smaller family, according to the Mefarshim here, than yeho yariv, so if the first Mishmar couldn't get it, and you returned it the week of Yehoi Yariv, but you knew that the next week, they could all split it evenly. So maybe you'd say, well, then it kind of waits in the kupa till next week, and the next week's Mishmar splits it up. Would that work? So hechidame. So now I say, what exactly is the case? Ima di Yahave. Right, I already kind of explained this, but now I'll say it. They say, if you want to say, di Yahave li Yedaya b'mishmeri Yedaya ha'ipe. Right, it can't be the case where you returned it to Yedaya in the week of Yedaya, then there wouldn't even be a question. You gave it to them a week early. You said, listen, next week, when you'll be on, you'll split this up. Oh, do we say that since it's not their mishmar, then basically they returned it in a week where it couldn't be split and it's nothing? Or do we say that since it's not worth anything that week, it will kind of stand and wait till Yedaya comes up. Teku. Okay, again, when we get on these really long-winded questions, they don't have answers. Bye, Rava. Kanim, ma'ushich leku gezel hager kenege gezel hager. Okay, now, if we view this as a mamon payment, then what could you say? If you're the kanim on that mishmar that week, you could say, listen, I want a little bit more of this gezel hager, but the next Gezel Hager that comes in, right, I'll take a smaller portion, you'll take a bigger portion. Like, you can make a deal with one of the Kohanim on the Mishmar with you and say, listen, I want a little more of this, you take a little more of the next thing. Okay? Now, if it's a mamon payment, then you can do that. But again, if you say that we learn this from Asham, you can't do it because Ein Chokim Asham Kineged Asham. You're not allowed to do that. When you get the Korban Asham and it gets split among the Kohanim, the parts of, right, the what they get to eat, so, it has to get split exactly evenly, and you can't say, I'll take more of this Hasham, and you take more of the next Hasham. Okay, you're not allowed to do that. Like, you particularly like the meat this way, you know, this kind of meat. Tell the guy, you take the meat next time. So, therefore, again, it's going to be, since we call it Hasham, right, it's going to be judged like the Hasham, rather than a monetary payment. So, again, they ask it as a question. This is, again, Rava. Same, right? Rava keeps asking all about this. Pani maushich leku gezel ager kinega gezel ager. Can you take more of one? And he takes less of the, you know, you take less of the next one. Mi amrina asham kari rachmana, ma asham en chokim asham keneged asham ap gezel en chokim gezel ager kinega gezel ager. O dilma, or do we say gezel ager mamonahu, it's a mamon payment. Okay? Now again, hadar pashta, Rava answered the question himself, just like he said in all the earlier cases, asham kari rachmana, and therefore you can't be cholek gezel hager kenege gezel hager. Rav Acha bereid Rava matne la behedya. Rav Acha said it. The Rava said it directly. He didn't ask a question and answer it, but he said it very specifically, explicitly. Amar Rava konim en chokim gezel hager kenege gezel hager. My time, asham kari rachmana. It's just a matter of did Rava answer ask the question and then answer it, or did he just say a blanket statement? By Rava. Next question. Konim begezel hager yorshim havu o mekablei matana havu. Are they now when Kohanim get the Gezel Hager, are they considered like they function in place of the inheritors and they're inheriting it? Or is it like a gift? So again, Lamay Nafkamina, what's the relevance? Kigong, Shegazal Chamit Shavar Lava Pesach, our famous case we keep going back to. Remember, if you're returning the item, right? So it's gonna go back exactly as is, even though it's really worth nothing, this Chamit Shavar Lava Pesach. So here goes. Iamar Yorshim Havu. Hainu haidi yarte morit. And if they're yorshim, then they get exactly the chamit shavar lava pesach, right? In other words, it just kind of goes straight down, so then we don't start to evaluate its monetary value and say, hey, this has no monetary value. Okay? But iamart mekablei matana tavu, matana ka'amurachmana denetiv lehu, vahalo kayaev lemidi, da'afra ba'almahu. In other words, if it's a matana, and they're supposed to be getting this as a matana. Well, it's a matana that's worth zero. It's not worth anything. It's ka'afra ba'alma. It's like the dirt of the ground. And therefore, maybe they'd have to pay him the monetary value of the chametz. So now, we're going to say this isn't really true, though. Rav Ze'eira bai hachi. Afilu imtim tzilomra mekablei matana havu. Even if you want to say that they're mekablei matana, haloi bailan. It wouldn't be a question even that way. Why? Dahi matana amarachmana denetiv lehu. Okay, in other words, this is the matana that they're supposed to get. What does it say to the Kohen? He's supposed to get the object. So even if he's getting it b'tor matana, he still can get a matana that's worth nothing. You'll get it the same way. It'll be the same way as we talked about in general, about returning items, and even if it was worth something, now it's worth nothing. If the item's still there, you return it. But he says this is really the question. Let's say he inherited, you know, the Kohen. Someone stole 10 animals from a ger. The ger is dead. He brings those 10 animals to the Kohen. So the Kohen gets them, but now we have a separate question, which is, if we view it as Yerusha or Matana, there's going to be nafkaminas for other halachot. Let's say this guy gave him 10 behemot, and the guy had never taken Maser behema on them. Remember, you have to take 1/10 of your animals. So, b'chayve lafrushe minayu maser, olo. Okay? So, do you have to be mafrush maser or not? Because if it's Yerusha, okay, yorshim havu da'amar mar, kanu b'tfisat habayit chayavin, do we say that they're like yorshim? And what do yorshim, we say about yorshim? They were kanu b'tfisat habayit, that means it's as if like it just kind of went straight down to them, in which case it comes with all its chiyuvim upon it. If you didn't take Meister, they have to take Meister. O Dilma mekablei matanot havu. And if you say that they're getting it like a gift, utnan, the Mishnah says, halokeach, vanitan lo b'matana, patur mi maser behema. If you buy 10 animals from someone, he wasn't mafresh maser, you don't have to do the maser. Or, if someone gave you as a gift 10 animals that he hadn't been mafresh maser, the chiyuv doesn't move on to you. It was a chiyuv on the original owner, not on you. So if you view the coin as your shame, they're going to be chayav to give the maser behema. If you view them as mekablei matana, they're not going to be. So now the Gemara says, my, mesei tashma, let's learn from here. Esrim va'arba matnot kehuna netnu la'aronu banav. Okay, now we're going to learn there were 24 matanot kehuna. Interesting, this 24 number, right? There were 24 mishmarot kehuna. There were 24 matanot that the Kohanim got. Bekulam nitnu beklalu pratu klal. Okay, what does this mean? If you look in Bamidbar Yud-Chet, okay, we're not going to read this all, but the first pasuk says, okay, pasuk chet. Vayidaber Hashem al Aaron, v'ani hinei natati lecha et mishmeret trumotai, lechol kodshei b'nei Yisrael, lecha netatim, limoshcha ulvanecha lechok olam. Okay, I'm giving you all these gifts. It's a general pasuk. Then it goes into the details of all the gifts the Kohanim get. Okay, we're not going to read all the Pesukim here, but we're going to see the list of them in the source they're quoting here. And the last Pesuk says, Kol Trumoto Kadashim Asher Yorinu Bnei Yisrael Hashem Natati Lecha Ulevanecha Levnotecha Yitcha Lechok Olam Brit Melech Olam Hi Lefnei Hashem Lecha Ulezaracha Yitcha. So what do you see? There's a klal in the beginning, there's all the pratim in the middle, and there's a klal at the end. So what did they say we're going to learn from this? That all these things were given by klal uprat uklal, and a brit melach. Notice it says there's a brit melach. Where else does it talk about a brit melach? Al kor korban chata kriv melach. So what are we going to say here? Kol ha-mekayman, ki ilu anyone who's mekayim, giving these 24 matnot kuna, ki ilu mekayim klal uprat uklal u brit melach. It's as if he did all. Now, what's klal uprat uklal? It's all the drashot of the Torah. So it's as if he kept the whole Torah. Okay? It's as if he kept the whole Torah. And it's as if he did all the korbanot, because he has a brit melech. V'kol ha'over alehem. And if you don't give them, ki'ilu over al klal uprat uklal ubrit melech. Okay? It's as if he didn't do any. V'eluhem. Here's the list. Esther b'mikdash. They're now putting them into categories. There's 10 that have to be eaten in the Beit HaMikdash. That the Kohen has to eat in the Beit HaMikdash. There's 4 b'Yerushalayim that have to be eaten in the city of Jerusalem. And there's Eser that can be eaten anywhere, b'Gvulim, okay? Anywhere, even outside of Yerushalayim. So now we're going to have a list of all the things that go to the Kohen. Eser b'Mikdash, okay? I'm not going to have time to go through all the details. If you're interested, the Schanstein has a very long detail about what all these things are, okay? We've learned them over time, so it's good review if you look up what they are. Chatat behema, someone who brings a korban chatat that comes from an animal. Chatat ha'of, you bring it from a bird. Remember, there's all those cases where either it's a levi yore that you can do either an animal or an of, or there's some there particularly you're supposed to bring ofot. Ba'asham vadai, that's when you bring a korban asham, like the asham gzelo was one of the cases. There's 5 cases of asham vadai. Asham taloi, that's if you're not sure if you did something that you chayav a korban chatat. So you bring an asham taloi, which is like, well, maybe if I did something wrong, I'll bring this. Although if you find out you did something wrong, remember, then you have to actually bring the korban chatat. Like the asham only helps you until you verify. Once you verify and you know for sure you did something wrong, then you have to bring the korban chatat. Vizibchei shalmei tzibur, these are the zvachim that come with the shalmei tzibur. This is for I think it's the shlemin that goes with the korban alech, the shtei alechem on Shavuot. The log shemen shel metzora, you're supposed to pour the shemen into the hands of the kohen, and then he puts them on the tnuch ozen yamanit and the bohem raglo yamanit. Remember that with the metzora, and then he sprinkles some on the kodesh kodeshim, I think, or he sprinkles some somewhere. So this whatever's left of the shemen that you poured out onto the hands of the kohen, whatever you didn't pour out into the kohen, you take a log shemen, you pour some into the hands of the kohen. Anything that's left, we're going to see a bunch of these are shayarim, things that are left, go to the kohen. Motar ha'omer, this is what's left from the mincha ha'omer. Remember with the mincha, you would do the kmitza, you put it in a bowl, you take your 3 middle fingers, right, your pinky, right, is on the side, you do that kmitza thing, and whatever's left in there is called the shayram mincha. Okay, so this is from the mincha ha'omer, that has to be eaten in the mikdash. Shtei alechem, that korban shtei alechem on Shavuot, the lechem apanim, that was every week, right, the bread that they switched, that's on the shulchan. Shayarei menachot, all the rest of the menachot. The arba, okay, that's the 10. The arba b'Yerushalayim, it was 10, okay. Then there's the arba b'Yerushalayim, the bechor of the animal, the bikurim, right, the bechor of your fruit, hamura minatoda ve'el nazir. These are the things that you take from the toda. There's bread that goes with it, also the el nazir, and you take some of the bread and it goes to the kohen. And the zroa, and there's like a few parts that you bring from the korban toda and the el nazir that go to the kohen. Ve'orot kodashim, okay, the hide of the kodashim goes to them. Vasara b'gvulin, here are the 10 and the gvulin. Truma maser, chala, right, the truma is what you give to the kohen. The truma maser is what the levim have to give truma from their maser that they get. The chala, right, that's mafresh chala. Reshit ha'geiz, we saw that recently, right, where you bring the first of your shearings. The matanot, that's the zro l'chayayim, right, those matanot that you give to the kohen from all the korbanot, right, as opposed to the ones that we mentioned that were particular that had to be in Yerushalayim, but these of the regular korbanot don't. The pidyon aben, okay, right, the money you get for the pidyon aben. The pidyon peter chamor, which is a seh, you're supposed to be poter the firstborn chamor with a seh, or you can just break its neck. But if you do it with a sed, then that goes to the Kohen, and you can have it anywhere. Ustach huzah, that's when, remember, your land, we talked about this at the beginning of class, your land goes back in the yovel, and the Kohanim get it, that could be anywhere. Ustach haramim, if you're machrim your sadeh, which basically means you're giving it to the Beit HaMikdash, and it gets split up by the Kohanim. Begezel hager, in our case. And what do you see from here? Go back to the beginning, right? This is like the joke with the bus driver. You're driving a bus, and then you ask it after this whole long detail, well, who's the name of the bus driver? Okay, what were we here for? Because we were trying to figure out, is it Yerusha or Matana? What do you see here? It's listed in a list of Matanot. Pekakarim emia Matana, Shmami name, Kavlot Matanot, Havu, Shmami. Okay, end here for today.